Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 16, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this just beautiful night of worship. Thank you for the saints that pressed out tonight. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Are You a Memorial to God? Are you a memorial to God? One of the things that we're going to see here is there's one particular woman that Jesus shouted from the mountaintop, and she became a memorial for 2,000 years now. Her name is proclaimed, not just in heaven, but on earth. And so my question tonight is, are you and I, are we a memorial to God? And we're going to see what grabbed the heart of God. We're going to see why Jesus prophesied and proclaimed who this woman was, is because of her heart. Remember, the gospel is about the issues of the heart. When we read the Word of God, it's not that we're reading the Word of God, it's God's Word is reading us. You see, there's things in our life we have no clue. But when God reads your life, He reveals things to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. He reveals those things that are kept behind closed doors. Sometimes we put locks on them. But yet, He has access to all of it. And He reveals things to us. And so we're going to see tonight a revelation of a woman that God proclaimed a memorial. Let's read this. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. I want you to catch that. She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Can God say that about us? Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them, and they heard it, and they were glad, and promised to give money. Remember, these chief priests and these religious leaders were always trying to find ways to interrogate and to destroy the work of God. And so he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now, on the first day of the unleavened bread, notice everything now is happening during the feast days. When they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city. A man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. And wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it was just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Amen. Praise God. So let's look a little closer to these passages of Scripture and ask the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to take us. Can I get amen? Amen. So in verse 1, after 2 days it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by what? Trickery, and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. Why not during the feast? Because this was a time in history, a time during Israel's celebration of festivals, that thousands came from the region. They came from the south. They came from the north. They came from the east. They even came across the ocean to celebrate the Passover. And this is why, hallelujah, God chose the day in which he would have his son killed for us. This didn't take God by surprise. God planned and prepared his death for us. Just like these people were preparing the lamb for the Passover, God was preparing his son to be the final Passover for us. Wow. God knew already. And so the Passover commemorated the night the Israelites were freed from Egypt. We know the story. And when God passed over homes and marked by the blood of a lamb, this was the last great plague on Egypt. Praise God. When the death angel came. So when Jesus died on the cross, hallelujah, thank you, God. For those who came to Christ by faith, the blood was applied no differently than how the blood was applied on the doorpost and the lintel back in the Old Testament. That's why the death angel passed over the houses and the people there. Well, guess what? Hallelujah. Because we have the blood of Christ, hallelujah. Death, hell, and the grave has passed over us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
No longer are we bound and headed to a fiery grave. God has delivered us. He has set us free. Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
So it was during this time, the spring feast, the Passover, Jesus died on Passover. So as we're reading in chapter 14, we were just 2 days away from his death as we're reading. God had already proclaimed it before the foundation of the world that he would send his only begotten son to die for you and for me. And it was about to embark on everyone during this time. And so this was a time. It was a festive time. It was a time to celebrate. Why? Because they were celebrating thousands of years of freedom from bondage under Pharaoh's rule. But as we've been reading, they were under a new type of Pharaoh. Who was it? Rome. The Caesars. And so as you can see, in this holiday, we are just about ready to enter into the fall feast. And so the next one is Feast of Trumpets. Remember, we go to Maranatha Chapel and we go up there and we celebrate. We're going to go again. Amen? But could it be this year and those 2 days that we go home? Are you ready? How many can say I'm ready? Come on, we're ready. Amen? Listen, if you weren't ready, you wouldn't have no desire to come to Bible study. You'd be out there with the rest of them. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. So, in a nutshell, Jesus died on Passover, their first festival. Then he was buried into the tomb, and he was in unleavened bread festival in the tomb. What does unleavened mean? Meaning it had no yeast in the bread. And unleavened means a type of no sin. Jesus was in the tomb without any sin. Every human being that has died from Adam and Eve has went into their grave with sin. What? Yep. But Jesus had no sin. And then the next feast, which is 3 days later, is the Feast of First Fruits. He rose again on the third day. He rose on the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. And that's why we have a lively hope. We got hope in Jesus, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Then 50 days later, after Jesus rose again, and then he was taken into heaven, 50 days later, the Holy Ghost falls on the Feast of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now we're looking at the fall feast. The trumpets is around the corner. I can't wait. That's right. Come on. Man, just imagine the big giant ones from heaven are going to do. Come on. And we're going to be taken out of here. Amen. Or do you guys want to still stay behind? Maybe you haven't seen your last sitcom, your soap opera, your novella. Come on, I think we're all tired of this place now, aren't we? Come on, every time we put on the news, there's no good news. But I'm here to let us know that Christ who lives in us, the hope of glory, hallelujah, he sustains us. Can I get amen? He surrounds us with his presence and he gives us eternal joy. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I don't care what the devil's doing. That all that concerns me, what's God doing in my life, your life? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Your children's life, our family.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, his hand is all over us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. And so the day of Passover was followed by the seven-day festival of unleavened bread. This, too, recalled the Israelites' quick escape from Egypt because they didn't have time. They had to just go now. Praise God. Listen. We're not going to have that much time either. We're just going to, boom, go. Fasten your seatbelts. And if you don't like flying, I'm sorry, I can't help you. We're going to meet him in the clouds. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. But see, in the book of Deuteronomy, it goes back to let us know how exactly what happened. It says, you may not sacrifice a Passover within of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. Look at that. So, my goodness. It was all a setup by God. Hey, amen. From the Old Testament, amen. So Jews from all over the Roman Empire would converge on Jerusalem, swelling the population from about 50,000 to over 250,000. And you got to remember, it wasn't a modern city. It was an ancient city. So 250,000 people in an ancient city, it's enormous. Enormous. The Jewish leaders plotted secretly to kill Jesus during that time. They had already decided that Jesus must die. They just needed the opportunity. But let me just say this. I don't care what they schemed up. God had already planned for his son to die for us. It wasn't these religious leaders, oh, we're going to plot and kill him. No, that's the providence of God. God allowed that to happen for you and I. It was already a foreknowledge. It was already ordained by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so they did not want to attempt to arrest Jesus during the Passover because they feared that the crowd would have a big, giant, huge riot. They didn't want to start a ruckus. They feared that such an uprising might bring the wrath of Rome. But look how John says this right in here. Look at this. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing, what? At all. But look at this. Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the whole people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Look at that. Even Herod, who this guy would end up having worms in his belly and dying grotesquely. But he prophesied that, well, I think this guy is supposed to die for the nation. Look at that. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather, what? Together in one of the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Man, I'm telling you, their feathers were more than ruffled. They couldn't do one miracle, these religious leaders. And they were filled with jealousy and anger. Just imagine, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the midst of them. Wouldn't you, man, I would fall on my face if Jesus were to appear. And they didn't recognize who he was, because they weren't born from above. They were from this earth. Let's move on to verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman kept having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Bethany was located in the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. This town was the home of Jesus' friend Lazarus, Mary and Martha, who would gather there. To me, it was like a place to hang out for him, because they were friends of him. But John even mentions this. Look how John mentions this. He says, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We all know the story of Lazarus, don't we? But God mentions these people in Scripture. Why? Because they were very close to the heart of Jesus, and they loved Jesus. Despite of all, I call it the fake news. Despite of all the animosity, despite of all the religious uprising, they stuck close to Jesus. Can you stick close to the Lord when everything is falling apart around you? Can you stick close to him? This is why they're mentioned. And they saw how they wanted to plot and to kill him. And yet they loved him. They loved the Lord. And so Jesus had been returning to Bethany from Jerusalem each night during this final week. This night, Jesus was a guest of Simon. He did not have leprosy at that time, for lepers had to live separately from the people because of the extreme contagiousness of the disease. Jesus may have healed Simon. We don't know. It's not clear. But this woman was probably Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Let's look how this further goes on to say right here in John 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Look at that. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You know, when I was studying and I was sitting down, I said, Lord, this is incredible what this woman did, because according to ancient Israel, this was about $1,500. That was a whole lot of money. This is why they were shocked. Because just a very little bit of it, they would sell. But she poured open her whole entire life savings upon him. But little did she know. It was a sign of her washing him for his burial, that he would die. My goodness. This is one of the things that touched God's heart. It touched the Lord. And then Luke said it like this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she was washed by my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." You got to remember the heart of this woman. She was so thankful of being forgiven by God. Listen, when you know that you have been forgiven of going to hell, you would want to be at the feet of Jesus every day. Can I get an amen? And when God shows you your sin, you would reject it and say, "No, I don't want this no more, because I don't want to break your heart, Lord." But there's people that will hear truth, and yet they will still live in a lie. It'll go like one ear and out the other. "I'm okay." No, this woman, she knew what she was delivered from. Look at this. He goes on to say, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in." Listen, when we, despite in the house of God, but at home or wherever you're at, is your heart always in that place of adoration toward him, thanking him, praising him? Listen, when you're at home with your husband, if you have a husband, or a wife, if you have a wife, children, if you have children, or even if you're a single person, it doesn't matter. But the presence of God should be in your home. And let me tell you why he's there. It's because people that are thankful and know what they've been delivered from, they will always have a heart of worship and praise and adoration. Hallelujah. And he will draw close to you. He will draw close to you. Look what he's saying here. He said, "Look, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in." Look at this. "You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." What? She understood that all I have to do is touch the heart of God, because the law couldn't set her free. The religious folks couldn't set her free. But Jesus had compassion. And look what he says. "Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." It's about having a love affair with God. Did you know that? Today, the rabbi came in and asked. We were back there setting up. He goes, you read the Old Testament. We love the Old Testament. And I said, "How many laws are in the Old Testament, Rabbi?" I asked him that. He knows. He goes, "Well, you know, you could debate." Well, 613. I go, "Listen, Jesus summed it up in the New Testament. He proclaimed the Shema. He knew exactly, Rabbi knew exactly what I was talking about." And what is the Shema? "If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then all the whole law and the prophets hinge on those two." And God, hallelujah, will bless your life. How many of you want a blessed life? Then here's the key. Be like her. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, we don't have time. We don't have time to have odds with people. Man. Every one of us, if we wanted to, we can have a laundry list of things. What you said, what you've done, and this is how I... Come on, God is saying, grab that and throw it in the trash. I'm about to come. Get your heart right with me. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Did you catch that? Wow. I'm glad Jesus writes these things. Aren't you so blessed? I can't think of this stuff. God does, though. And so she brought a beautiful jar of expensive perfume, which she poured out on Jesus' head. It was a common custom at some Jewish meals for the honored guest to be anointed with oil, but it would not be so too expensive. Such an anointing with expensive oil portrayed a royal messianic anointing. And that's what it was. Let's move on to verse 4. But there were some who were indignant, meaning, how could she pour that? All that, you know, they were thinking money. They were thinking dollars. They were thinking, man, I could go buy me a big old house on the mountaintop. My goodness. Look, and they said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they weren't, listen, if they had that money, they wouldn't give it to the poor. They were just talking loud. Brother G back in the day, he would say, you talking loud and saying nothing. Or how about you talking out the side of your neck? Remember that one? That's what they were. You could have gave it to the poor. Yeah, right. You put that in your dollar, we wouldn't see you for about a month. And they criticized her sharply. My goodness. You see, Mark says John specifically mentions who this one that was talking, who's the one that was talking out the side of his neck? Who? Come on, sister has been reading her word. Did you read before you came here, sister, this chapter? It was Judas, the betrayer, the one that was welled up with all kinds of anger and bitterness, and he was a betrayer. He was amongst them. Jesus washed his feet. Remember the foot washing they had? And he still betrayed the Lord. Oh, yeah. Look at this in John. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So Mark didn't mention it, but John did. There's always a witness. Can I get a witness? There's always a witness. Saints, this indignation over Mary's act of worship would not have been based on concern for the poor, but on greed. Because Judas was the treasurer of Jesus' ministry, and he's the one that embezzled the funds. He was an embezzler. Oh, yeah. Look what John says here. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. So he took that money, and he's the one that gave it to the chief priest to have Jesus killed. Let me tell you, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, because right now he's probably on a rotisserie, being tormented by demons in hell. My, he betrayed the Lord. Judas was no doubt, he wanted the perfume sold for that the proceeds could be put into his care. This event probably pushed Judas over the edge in his determination to betray Jesus. He saw all those money. He goes, man, this is easy money. I don't have to work for this. I just take it. Wow, be careful. Let's move on to verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for what? Burial. They're probably like, what does he mean? Saints, Jesus reprimanded the disciples, but comforted Mary. The expensive ointment poured on Jesus had been a good thing to do for him, a beautiful, acceptable, appealing act of love and sacrifice, and Jesus declared it so. So just remember, when you're worshiping the King, you're pouring your fragrance upon his feet. No differently, because it's an issue of the heart. You're adoring him, you're loving him, you're praising him, you're glorifying him. This was a unique act for a specific occasion, an anointing that anticipated Jesus' burial and a public declaration of faith in him as the Messiah. She recognized that. Judas didn't. And some of the disciples were questioning some things too, but they didn't betray him. They had a problem with their faith. Every now and then they lost faith, and then when Jesus was ultimately sacrificed, all of them just about lost their faith, huh? But none of them betrayed him except Judas. Please don't name your son Judas. If you want to have a child again or whatever, please, that's a corrupt name. Can I get amen? That's a name that rings forever on what he did to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Isn't there a rock band by the name of Judas? What's that? Judas Priest. Man, that boy needs to repent. So Jesus was not saying that we should neglect the poor, nor was justifying indifference to them. But Jesus said it best. He said it best, look, in Matthew here. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, if it's your heart to love God, to serve God, to worship him, to praise him, to lead others to Christ, to pray for those, even those who despitefully use you, and yet you have a heart to forgive them. Yeah. And you say, oh God, despite of how they feel about me, I'm going to still love them. Yeah. That's where the heart of God is. And that's where the treasure of God is. It's not in wealth. It's not living on Cherry Hill. It's not about because you got maybe more, a little bit more money than others do. No. It's about your heart. About loving God. It's all about Jesus. Look what Luke says here. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Why? Because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, you may not have a dime in your wallet or a dollar to spend, but when Jesus comes back and he has recorded all the good works you have done, he will bless you with a reward that's going to blow your mind away. Because he says, I'm coming back with my rewards. My goodness. I'd rather get paid by him. Hallelujah. Than any corporation. A corporation, you have to punch the clock and you got to be there. And you got to slave it. Can I get amen? Amen? And then when you get the check, well, wait a minute, man, what happened here, man? They took out this and they took out that. And all I got is this left. Oh, we've been there, done that, haven't we? I'm just going to let you know now. What Jesus gives us, he ain't taking nothing out. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, I can't wait to see the King. I can't wait to see Jesus. He's got a better plan. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus was affirming Mary's unselfish act of worship. She was unselfish. The essence of worshiping Christ is to regard him with utmost love, respect, and devotion, as well as to be willing to sacrifice to him what is most precious. And you know what that is? Your heart. your heart of love toward him. Amen. Let's keep moving on. We're almost done with this verses. Verse 9. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Let me just encourage you guys tonight. I don't know how long you've been saved, but the moment, the day that you gave your heart to Christ, he's been accounting all these days and writing down in the books in heaven everything that we've done, everything that we said, everything that we, how we served him, how we worshiped him, how we love him. Everything is on record. On record. And he's going to shout it out. As soon as you step in to the courts of heaven, you know how he said that she was a memorial? Guess what the memorial to us will be? What is it? Huh? Yeah, but there's something even better that I want to hear from him. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on. That's what I want to hear from Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And when he proclaims that, it'll be a memorial to you and to all of heaven. Can I get an amen? My goodness. It's going to be a time to rejoice where God would speak that about you. Praise God. So Mary's unselfish act would be remembered forever. Forever. The Bible says God's word is forever settled where? In heaven. This has come true because we read about it today, 2,000 years later. And while the disciples misunderstood Jesus' mission and constantly fought about places in the kingdom, and while the religious leaders stubbornly refused to believe in Jesus and plotted his death, this one, the one quiet woman so loved Jesus and was devoted to him, he's the one that shouted her name. Thank you, God. She is an example to us of all unselfish devotion to the Lord. Look how Matthew says this. This is for us now. Look what God wrote about for us now, that we would apply God's word. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And look at how Paul wrote to the Colossian church about it. Look at what he wrote. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive what? The reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, just to know that God has laid up treasures for us. Man, you should be excited. Okay. Well, how do you know he's coming with my reward? God said it in his word. How many believe that? All right, then you need to read it. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will reward each according to his works. Can I get amen? Amen. This ain't Pastor Fee just rambling. Jesus said that when he comes with the angels, he's coming with his reward to give unto thee. Man, I can't wait. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's my prayer. You know what that is? I'm praying that you and I will never have to experience physical death.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Yes, amen.
that when Jesus comes, holla, boom, we're gone. We're gone. We wouldn't have to be in a rest home or in a hospital, you know, and people are coming by your bedside and saying goodbye. And you go, I don't know, is it today or tomorrow? No. I've been praying, God, you would come down in the clouds and take us all up. Guess what? It might be this Feast of Trumpets. I don't know which Feast of Trumpets, but I know one of those Feast of Trumpets we're all going to be taken up. And guess what? Even if we have to go to the grave or the ground, the Bible says in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Comfort each other with these words. This is why I'm not afraid of physical death. Why? Because God's going to raise us up. My goodness. Thank you, God. And he's coming with his what? Rewards. We got 10 minutes. Let's go. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to what? Betray them. Wow. Why would this guy want to betray Jesus? You ever ask yourself that? All right, this is an old Brother G saying. He saw all those snaps. You know what snaps in the back in the day was? Money. We used to call them snaps. I know G did. He saw that money. And he didn't care what the price was at the time until when he saw Jesus being apprehended and beaten like a dog. He went and hung himself because the conviction came. Plus, the Bible says the spirit of the devil came into him. Wow. Watch out what you listen to, what you watch, and who you hang out with. Can I get an amen? The devil is a deceitful foe. He doesn't play fair. He's a liar. Man, well, Sunday, if you were here Sunday, he's a liar, isn't he? A father of lies. Let's move on to verse 11. Let's go here. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Man, I'm telling you, these high priests was, man, we're so thankful you found a way we could get to him now. Just imagine, people had that much anger and hate and animosity towards someone that they would want that person dead. Well, if you watch the news, it's no different. It's almost like they want our president dead. Every day. I never seen anything like it in my whole life. Nothing ever like that. Things haven't changed, have they? Not to say that God just raised him up for such a time as this to be the president of the United. So you pray for those who God puts up there. Can I get amen? Amen. But I never seen a man hated by every channel you turn to. But we live in the time that there's so much animosity, so much anger, so much hate, so much hostility. The book of Timothy says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we're living in the last days. Can I get amen? We are living in the last days, saints. You see, they promised these religious guys, they promised Judas a reward. And Judas began looking for the right opportunity when there would be no Passover crowds to prevent Jesus' capture. So they didn't want to apprehend him during all these witnesses. They wanted to come. This is why they came at night. And they did a illegal night court. Did you catch that? Remember, they came to get him at night. You weren't allowed to have a court at night. They broke their own law to kill an innocent man. My. So now, in verse 12, now on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover lamb? So Jesus had already prepared a place. Just go. There's a place all prepared. And all you have to do is go and walk by faith. You know, God showed me something. You know how for those who want to excel in school, pass a test, looking for a job, and things in that nature. What God showed me is there's people that just pray, oh, Lord, open a door, God. And God will open a door. But then he's also saying this, take a step of faith and go out there and apply for it. And then let me open that door. Faith without works is what? Dead. So you apply your faith with your works. And that's when God comes in like a flood. Can I get amen? What am I saying here? Watch this. What I'm saying here is the next day, Jesus, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus on the scene, he took a step of faith knowing that that was Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. I need you to catch this because this is during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? So Jesus was the Lamb of God who would be the last and final sacrifice. Can I get amen? And so this was either a Wednesday night before the Passover or Thursday of Jesus' last week. The highlight of the festival was the Passover meal, a family feast with the main course of the lamb. Now, I need you to catch this. Because it was prophesied that the Lamb of God would what? Take away what? The sins of the world. So God the Father knew already that he would send his son to die on the Passover feast. And guess who saw this first? In the flesh. But then the Spirit told him who it was. Who was it? Right up here, look at this. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. So God was preparing, as we're reading in Mark 14, that Jesus was that Lamb coming, prepared. The day finally came. He saw it clearly. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. So here's John the Baptist in faith, baptizing for the remission or for repentance. And then as he in faith, believe God, then the Lamb showed up. God is saying, apply your faith with your works and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Can I get amen? Because John the Baptist was obeying God. Jesus' disciples assumed that they would eat the Passover meal together with Jesus. However, the meal had to be eaten in Jerusalem. So the disciples asked Jesus where they should go in order to make the preparations. So guess what? They believed Jesus and they went. Just like Jesus instructed them. They didn't go, man, are you crazy, man? We don't know this guy. They weren't procrastinators. They obeyed God. Can I get amen? Look at this. And he sent out two of them, disciples, to go into the city. A man will meet you there carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. They believed and he went. And who were those two disciples? Who were they? And he sent out two disciples. Luke tells us who they were. Look at this. Luke right here. It says, and he sent Peter and John. Go and prepare the Passover for us that they may eat. Hallelujah. And they went. They went and they did exactly what they were asked to do. God is saying tonight, do what God has called you to do. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? If he's called you to serve, serve with your whole heart. Yes. If he's called you to worship, worship with your whole heart. Amen. If he's called you to labor and love and intercede for those who don't know even how to pray, pray for them. Can I get amen? Amen. I tell you, God does miracles. How many of you believe that God still does miracles? Yes. He does miracles. Miracles that we can't even comprehend. How many love the Lord? Amen. I know you do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love him. As we close with these last three verses, wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared for there make ready for us. So his disciples went out, and we just learned it was Peter and John. Peter and John went out, came into that city, and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Wow. How many love God's word and the story that God tells us? And how we can apply nuggets out of the word of God, that we would believe God, everything that he has said has come to pass, and things that are about to come to pass. God is saying, hold on. Hold on to him. Don't let him go. Don't have fear of what we see in this world today. We know that the devil is a liar. We know that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to bring fear. But God is saying tonight, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of what? A sound mind. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we too will be a memorial unto thee, O God. Because you said that our names are written in the book of life. When we came to you by faith, you forgave us. You cleansed us. You washed us into your, with your blood, your own blood, you washed us. You have made us whole and clean before you, God. We are no longer the same. You instilled in us, you placed in us your spirit, that we can praise you now and worship you and glorify you and magnify you. Oh God, keep us in your perfect will. And when the enemy tries to come, we ask, Lord, by faith, put a restraining order on that devil. And everything that comes to bring havoc to our life, restrain it. You said, God, in prayer, that when we come to the throne room of God, that is the courts of heaven. And the Bible says you are our advocate, meaning you are our attorney. And so, God, we ask right now, God, that you would put a restraining order on all these things that would come and try to cause havoc in our life. Yes. And that you would bind it up and keep us whole and sound, oh God. Lord, destroy the works of the devil completely in the lives of your people, God. That we would always have the freedom to worship and praise you and to glorify you, God. And I'm praying for someone that maybe it don't even know you, that never has given their life to you. Pray this prayer by faith. Step out. It's time for you now to step out of the boat and walk on water in faith. Believe God that he's able to deliver you. He's able to save you. He's able to heal you. He's able to do all the impossible things in your life that doctors and people said that cannot be done. Oh, it's time to step out in faith and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, cry out with a heart of repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from darkness and turn to His marvelous light. Have a made up mind that you don't want to live in addictions anymore. You don't want to live no more in a moral, immoral way. If you're living in sin, get it out. Get right before God before He comes. And God will do the miraculous. If that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sin. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah and glory. Man, God is so worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give You the praise.